Welcome to Retro Asylum, episode 270.
It is actually episode 269. They got it wrong, again. I blame Chris.
This is a Game Club episode, and this is Matt, for the second time, almost in a row, on Retro Asylum, and I'm joined by, obviously, the Game Club gurus. Chris, how the devil are you?
So you're back now, mate?
We'll come
did
to
you
that.
Did you ever leave?
We'll come to that.
Oh,
forgot. How are you, Chris?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah.
Mads, how are you?
I'm fine, mate. And so I think our listeners already know why you're back on a Game Club episode. I think some of them will have guessed already.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And do you know what? I think it was 2 years ago, almost the day we did Stunt Car Racer, or three years ago.
Could be.
And that
could
was
be.
Around Christmas, obviously.
We're going to have a Christmas RPG, aren't we, Matt?
Oh. No.
Oh, we know.
Promise Matt to only do point and clicks, no RPGs, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, all right, see you later, boys. Nice to talk to you. So am I back, Chris? Who knows, mate? Who knows?
Were you ever really gone?
You get three in a row, almost in a row, because you're going to have 10th anniversary, this, and then the Christmas. Then I'll be back next year, about the same time, November, December time.
It's like you hibernate.
Yeah, I do. Don't worry, my enthusiasm for retro will die anytime now again. Then we'll go. Now, the mister's looking good at the moment, so I'm going to get that set up over Christmas. So I'm back. Anyway, this is a Game Club episode. We'll go, first of all, what we've been up to briefly. Mads, let's come to you first.
What have I been up to? So retro gaming-wise, I have been playing all the way through one of your favorite games, Matt, a point-and-click game, Monkey Island.
Oh, I love it.
On my DOS PC with, for the first time, playing all the way through it using my Roland MT32. So got the proper sound for that game for once. So that was quite good. I still love that game. It's still one of my all-time favorites. So,
which graphics did you play with, Bats? Did I see you were playing with the...
With the shoot-em-up game graphics. That's what he's playing with.
The EGA graphics, wasn't it?
Nah, I actually started with DGA, but the VGA is the graphics I remember from back in the day. So I played through it on VGA. Yeah,
right.
Why would you want to do EGA? Because isn't it like two color or something?
It's 16 colors, 16, isn't it?
Yeah. I know.
Some games are made for that and just look brilliant in EGA. Okay. Like Loom, for example, is beautiful in EGA.
Even Monkey Island has its charms with those EGA graphics. I still prefer the character portraits in the very first.
Yeah, that might be right.
Did the character portraits change from the EGA to VGA, or was it VGA to the CD version?
I forget, mate. I forget.
Because the character portraits do change, don't they, in a version?
Mm.
But those initial character portraits, even though they look a little more crude, I think have a bit more character, in my opinion.
So I don't remember any... I don't think I've ever played the CD version, actually, of Monkey Island, the talkie version of the first one. Was there a talkie version back in the day of the first one?
No. There wasn't. No, but there was a CD version which had CD quality Redbook audio.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. With a remastered soundtrack. And there were certain graphical enhancements as well.
Yeah, don't think I've ever played that. I've only played the original, which I just played through again. Great stuff.
I remember having battles on the playground very geekily around VGA and Amiga 1200. That the Amiga 1200 had better graphics, but then the VGA or Super VGA people started talking about chunky to pixel. Just gets boring, doesn't it, really? The
Amiga, the AGA potential of the Amiga was amazing. It was a 32-bit machine, wasn't it? Just never really... Unfortunately, it just came along after Commodore had killed itself.
Imploded.
Which was a big shame.
Of course it was, yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Mads? Any other cracking point-and-click games?
No. I have been playing a bit of Metroid Dread, which is still a beautiful game, but I'm only like dipping in and out in small 10-minute chunks, so I haven't progressed a lot yet, but it's really a great game.
I think you can do that with that game. 10 minutes in, 10 minutes out. You can get a certain... Have you got to the Emmas, is it? The robot things that you can't kill?
Yeah, I think I've killed like three or four of those
have you?
Already.
Oh, you're ahead of me already then.
Okay.
I give up. I give up in life. Chris, how are you? What you been doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. So I've spent quite a bit of time recording at the weekend, so I'm going to take a risk here with the old podcasting paradox and talk about an episode which I recorded in the past but will be released in the future to this one. So our listeners, it's in the future for the listeners, it's in the past for me. But that was a good episode on Fallout 2 with the guys from the Retrospectives podcast, which we recorded on what was Saturday early afternoon for me, but was 11 p.m. start for them. And we finished 2¾ hours later at what was 1:45.
Oh, God.
On Sunday morning for those poor fellas.
Mm.
And they still sounded remarkably chipper. And then one of them, in fact, announced he was going off to have a midnight meal, as in a midway through the night meal.
Where are they based? Australia?
You're in Australia, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an Australian kind of retro games club style podcast. And we did a crossover series. So I guested on their podcast earlier this year talking about the original Fallout. They've now guested on ours talking about Fallout 2. And it was a really good episode. So that's in the can. And will be released, I suspect, after this one. So that was good. Gameplay-wise, I've also played through Monkey Island because we have another crossover coming up very shortly with our other podcast, Playthrough. And I played the VGA, I played the CD version with the CD remastered audio, but with the ripped speech files from the remaster. So it was the remastered speech with Dominic Amato, et cetera, et cetera, and I've overlaid onto the CD version with the remastered audio. Was that
a hack or something?
No, it's courtesy of the Exodus archive. So I bought it on GOG because I like to do that. I was surprised I didn't have it, so I bought it on GOG, thinking, and I gave Mads a bum steer, actually, that there was a director's commentary track. And there absolutely isn't a director's commentary track on the GOG version. That's on the remaster of Monkey Island 2.
Okay.
So I haven't bought it there, and I haven't realized there was no director's commentary. I don't particularly like the UI changes, even when you play it in classic mode through the GOG version. So I went back to the Exodus archive, where there is about 15 different versions and ways to play The Secret of Monkey Island. Every single combination of graphics and sound that has ever been released for that game.
So what is that? Is that emulated on a browser or something?
This is DOSBox, mate. So
oh, is it DOSBox? PC, right, gotcha.
Or Mac, for that matter.
Well, so they got packages that you just download and dump into DOSBox?
It is an absolutely wonderful archive of every single DOS game ever released. And within that archive, there are multiple versions of games with scans of manuals and game guides and feelies for the Infocom games. Mm. It is absolutely spectacular, that thing. Whoever put that together deserves some kind of pirate-themed award. But
yeah, it's a brilliant collection.
But in terms of preservation, I mean, for the Infocom games, they have all of the scanned feelies right there, right available, soundtracks, as I said, Brady game guides. I tell you. I mean, that thing is life-changing. It's wonderful.
Mads, have you got DOSBox or Boxer working on your M1 Mac yet? Because I know there was a 64-bit version for the OS X's after, I want to say Snow Leopard there, that was about 10 years ago, Mojave or whatever it's called, Mojave.
Yeah, So I must have, I haven't actually set it up myself, but I've been playing some games that I on the M1 through GOG Galaxy, so through good old games. And some of those old games, they are almost always DOSBox or Scum VM that's running them. So I guess DOSBox is there already.
Yeah, because Boxer, which was the Mac version, the underlying code was Boxer. It was DOSBox, but it stopped at 32-bit.
Okay.
And then when Mac OS dropped 32-bit support, it's not working, but there was a nightly build that someone had done for it. So that must work in some way, shape, or form. Because I had a few games. I'm not completely against PC gaming, gents. I'm not sitting here completely bored by Monkey Island talk. No, the things like Syndicate it just worked better on the PC than the Amiga. The Amiga sound is far better, but in terms of graphics and the speed of gameplay, way better on that. Syndicate Wars as well. I think that was still DOS. A few of the driving games as well. And there was just, the odd game here and there, which just was so much better than the Amiga version.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you probably won't find many games from, say, 1992 onwards where the PC counterparts are inferior, unfortunately. Mm. So I think that was the point, seems to be around. There was the tipping point where the PC gaming thing really took over in terms of the best way to experience home computer gaming. I'm sure there's one or two outliers.
There will be.
But of course, we do love the Amiga, Matt, don't we?
Well, obviously. Silly statement, but yes, yeah.
So what about you? Because you've had an exciting new arrival, which isn't exactly retro, but...
And it's not a baby, folks, before you think anything different.
No, it's a retro baby.
Yeah.
I'm dressed in 1970s garb.
That's it. That's it. So, yeah, I got a bit of a... So, I did... I've been in my company for 20 years. So, that's a long time to be in one place. And they presented me with a voucher. And I genuinely thought it was a bottle of champagne, 50 quid kind of thing. Mm. It wasn't. It was a lot more than that. And I was kind of blown away when it was presented to me on a manager meeting. And I was like, nice. Oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. So my mind started whirring because it was a voucher for only certain places you could buy from. So I couldn't buy what I really, really wanted, which would have been a bit of music equipment or something like that. Mm. So it was kind of between Argos and Currys, or I could buy some clothes or an experience voucher for, I don't know, Disneyland in London, if there's such a thing. So I went down the route of, Xbox. Okay. Been sniffing around that game. Forza Horizon 5 just come out. So long and short of it is what arrived on Sunday was an Xbox Series X, 512 gigabyte.
Nice.
And I thought I'd delve back into the darker side because I've been more on the PlayStation Nintendo route for years. But I have had a 360 and an Xbox before that. And I did have an Xbox One for about 3 months at one stage. So I still had some games on my account that I bought at the time. But yeah, it's a way to play games, isn't it, really? I'm not wedded to any particular ecosystem. So got the Game Pass straight away, £1 for a month, which is just a bargain. I mean, Microsoft will obviously just pull you in. They dangle that huge carrot and just go, yeah, £1, Matt, you're going to love that. And frankly, for someone who's diving in for the first time, there's a lot of good games on there.
It's incredible value. The fact that Forza Horizon games.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 5 on there, Flight Sims on there, which was the two games I was most interested in. But yeah, there's retro games. There's some Xbox games, quite a few Xbox 360 games.
All now what is part of the Bethesda library, so all of the old Doom games are on there. There's loads of good stuff. Lot of, you know, Banjo-Kazooie's on there, so the Rare Replay collection's on there. There's so many.
I downloaded Jetpack Reloaded, and that was terrible, though. I've got to say, I much preferred playing the original version.
But the original's on there as part of the Rare Replay collection, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. It's in the game as well. If you download Jetpack, it's in there as well. But the Reloaded one looked like a horrible Flash game. Dare I say it looked like one of those Amico games. It was just awful. To be honest,
shots fired.
You know, it was absolutely. It was just poor. But I've got Perfect Dark, which is the N64 remake, downloaded because I fancied that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just going to delve in with a little bit of that, and I downloaded Ori and the Wisps or whatever it's called.
That's a beauty.
Started that last night as a little. So I'm in between games now because I really want to crack on with Metroid Dread, but now the Xbox is kind of there. Got my Mister hanging around. We're going to be playing some Amiga games now as well. So I'm going to take it easy over this next month and a bit, and just
burn yourself out, Matthew.
And I saw Elite Dangerous was on there, and as soon as I saw Elite Dangerous on the Game Pass, I went no. Many times I went no, because I really want to play Elite Dangerous, but I know it'll be a whole world of pain and life disappeared. Yeah. What little life there is for us oldies, midlife oldies. So anyway, Xbox, that's my big news.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a nice bare kit. Everyone says it looks like a box and a speaker and
a digital
clock radio. But you know what? It sits under there and it's silent as well, isn't it, Chris? Well, I know you got the X, but I was expecting it to sound like a jet plane and it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, everything's silent compared to the PS4, which does sound like literally like a jet airplane, depending on the age and where on your PS4. But compared to that, I mean, the PS5 is quiet, but the Series X, considering the power that's pushing for a console, it is inaudible, completely inaudible.
I remember my 360, which had to have an extra bolt-on on the back of it because it would ring if you didn't have the extra bolt-on on, and that sounded like a jet plane.
The worst thing, I mean, I was using my 360 not so long ago, but played through Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and the loudest thing, the disc drive on my 360, honestly, churns and churns away. It must be on its last legs. Now, that's almost a launch model that I've never had the Red Ring of Death. So that's now 16 years. Well, not quite 16 years. What, 13, 14 years old?
You need to donate that to the British Library or something. Or
and it's done me really well. So the drawer doesn't open. You have to use a credit card to open the disc drawer.
And yank it out at slow speed.
You have to like prize it out.
Love it. That's going to die twacky. At some point. I'm surprised you're not at the Red Ring of Death, though. That came really quickly for me.
I've been very lucky. I've suffered crazily with Drift. Even my lad, who plays a lot of FIFA on the PS5, has started saying that the PS5 left stick he thinks it's drifting, which just made my...
It's an excuse. Is this drift a real thing?
Oh, completely. My PS4 DualShocks, the DualShock 4s were terrible for it. I've been through about four of those, and I don't play on the PS4 even that much. Switch was terrible. Those Joy-Cons on the original Switch were awful for it.
Really? I've got the original
four
Switch.
Four of those failing me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got about eight of those little Joy-Cons.
And what do you do now? Do you just have to buy new ones?
Well, I've now got the I've got the OLED Switch now, and that apparently the build quality is a little better, I haven't used it all that much. But I've got about eight Switch Joy-Cons other than those, which are in various states of driftiness.
So apparently it should be quite easy to fix, actually. You can buy a new stick for nothing on eBay, and then you can just mount it yourself. You just need one of those tri-wing screwdrivers.
Yeah, got them. My A button sticks on my Switch. I see anything that's wrong with it. It's a little bit, feels like something's been spilt in it.
Bit of air duster.
Yeah, it's WD-40, the whole lot of that will get rid of the drift and everything. That's what it's there for.
Yes.
Exactly. Suit Nintendo. That tends to work if you're American, but not if you're European.
Mm.
Yeah. The only other thing I have been doing is I've been reading Amiga on the... No, what's it called? Amiga Years by Brian Bagnall.
Oh, yeah.
Working my way through that one because it's, obviously Amiga Years, which is very in line with this episode. And it's really... I'm a really slow reader, so it's taken me many, many years to read it. But it is just so interesting hearing, even in those early days, how much Commodore wanted to kill that Amiga without knowingly killing it off. Yeah. It's just bonkers how badly they did with this platform. The fact that it sold itself is the only reason Commodore kept going. I don't think it was through Commodore design that it kept going. But really interesting book. I don't know whether you guys have seen that, got it?
I've heard Jimmy Maher talks about that book a lot, and he links to it a lot in a lot of his blog posts.
I think I've backed another one as well. I don't know. I keep getting updates from Brian Bagnall, so I can only think I've backed another one because I know he was doing a final one as well, like the final years. And he's really dug deep with the research as well. He did a lot of interviews with who was the chap who died more recently on the Amiga team. Was it Dave Needle? But he got interviews with him before he passed away. So, yeah, there's some really good research in there. And I like the fact he's dragged out a lot of old Jay Miner quotes as well from old publications and so on. He's really edited really, really nicely.
I'd love to look out for that.
Yeah, it's great books.
Nice.
But so as we're talking about the Amiga, is it time to delve into the Game Club? What is this? Is it the November or the December one we're going
December.
To
December.
It is December.
The votes for December. Obviously.
Votes for December, and this is Amiga, and it's Amiga sequels, everybody, not just Amiga games, which I think is a nice concept. But you know what? I found it really hard
to
find sequels. I had to go through Lemon Amiga, genuinely, and my game collection on an emulator to go, well, is that a sequel? Was that a sequel of an Amiga game or not? And we had some fairly loose ground rules, Chris. Yeah. Take us through them.
So it had to be sequels that were sequels to an Amiga game on the Amiga, which made it a bit harder.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an Amiga exclusive, neither the original or the sequel. It could be threequels or subsequent quals, which one of mine is a threequel. When Mads and I first, we wanted to play an Amiga game, so we did contemplate just saying, let's just go Amiga and throw it wide open. But then we thought, it's just a bit too wide. We need a way to narrow it down. We toyed with certain publishers, and we ended up with a lot of these games are from one of the publishers we talked about. But in the end, I think we just kind of said, let's just go sequels. Yeah, it's just a way of narrowing it down a little bit.
Can we talk the flashback controversy, please?
Mads, tell us about Loom. Tell us about Flashback.
So we talk about this maybe every second year on the podcast because you guys forget. You've talked about it before. You guys always seem to think that Flashback is somehow connected to Another World and is somehow a sequel to Another World.
It is connected.
It isn't. The only connection is that it's developed by the same company. No people on the development team. Connection. There was no crossover, so there's nothing there. It's not a sequel. It's just as much a sequel to Another World as it is a sequel to Prince of Persia, for that matter.
But it's not quite, because it is connected from the same development.
Oh, God. Okay. And by the way, it's not an Amiga game. It's a Mega Drive game that was ported to the Amiga.
Yes.
So let's just park that there.
No, but how
so for our listeners who've been listening for a long time, this was probably the third time we went through this, but we'll do it again in 2023, 2024, when Chris has forgotten.
But how quickly and graciously did I stand corrected?
I didn't.
At least.
I was trying to still back you up, Chris. No, it's definitely, it's a spiritual succession, nothing else. And Mads was just...
No.
Mads, we just like to give you the opportunity to, you know, be right occasionally. That's what it is.
Well, that's very nice of you. I would have loved to play Flashback, by the way, but I prefer the Mega Drive version so much to the Amiga version.
Yeah, I know it is superior. Yeah, I know.
Is it?
Yeah, pains me to say it. Yeah,
and it controls a lot better with a with a gamepad.
It was the lead platform, so it tends to be the case.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that one go.
I love the Amiga 2, Matt, but sometimes you just have to face reality.
Okay.
So I was just sad that Megalomania 2 was never released, because that's what I wanted to play.
So should we start jumping into the games? We're going to do one game each, talk about it very briefly, and then we'll start dropping them out like flies.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it. So who wants to go first? Matt, because you're top of my screen.
Sure. So my first game, I'm going to go chronological here with my games. My first game is Rick Dangerous 2. It was, of course, developed by Simon Phipps, and developed in by Core Design, published by Microprose, and released in 1990. So I love Rick Dangerous, the first one. And I've played that so many times. Never finished it because it's tough as nails. But I've never really spent enough time on the sequel. So I played it. I played the first level a couple of times, but never tried to learn the patterns as I did with the first one. So I would love to dive into Rick Dangerous 2. And what better way to get rid of some of those Christmas aggressions by throwing yourself again and again at Rick Dangerous 2.
Yes, right.
And then throwing yourself at the wall in frustration.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate frustrating games. You know, one of the first games I played on the Amiga was Rick Dangerous 1. And
brilliant
it is brilliant, but my God, that is a game that benefits a little bit from save states, isn't it? In this day and age. If you want to learn it, I guess.
If you want to learn it, that'd be really good. That's true. Yeah.
Is it as obnoxiously difficult as the first one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't it slightly different though, Maz? Is it more scrolling? Because I know it was flip screen before, but is it not a scroll screen now?
No, I don't think it is, but maybe I can't remember.
I think it's still flip screen, but I think it just scrolls in rather than flips in.
Okay.
Very slightly different.
I only remember that it now has a Flash Gordon theme instead of an Indiana Jones theme. So you're shooting a sap gun and so on. So.
Yeah, that's a great game to start with.
Interesting one.
Yeah, okay. Chris?
Okay. I was going to go chronologically as well, Matt, when Matt said that, but no, I don't think I will. I've got an order in mind. Firstly,
he's got a plan.
Got a plan. Yeah, you see, this is all psychology. You see, you kind of teased them in there. So my first game is a game by Sensible Software, it was developed by Sensible Software, but it wasn't published by them. It was published by Ocean, and it's a sequel to, hang on a minute. Yes, I can have this. It's WizKid. Because WizBall did get an Amiga port, didn't it?
Ooh, I'm actually unsure.
Live on the show, we are going to do a little bit of research. And just by the lapse of God, I have Lemon Amiga open. So let's have a look then.
WizBall.
Yeah, you're lucky there, Chris. Really lucky.
Almost fell at the first.
Yeah. Actually not developed by Sensible, the first one.
What, the port wasn't?
No.
I'm going to quit while I'm ahead and settle for the fact it got an Amiga port. My first choice is WizKid by Sensible Software, released in July 1992 by Ocean. A famous game that a lot of people have heard of, but I'm not sure whether many people have played that much. Tends to be one of the more overlooked Sensible Software games. I remember playing it very distinctly back in the day. I can't remember how far I got, but one look at the screenshots definitely has it all coming back to me with the musical notes across the top of the screen. It's a pretty nuts, pretty bizarre game from what I've been reading about over the past few days. I don't remember it being that deep, but one of the things I've been really interested in reading about it in some of the reviews is that there are elements of adventure and RPG mechanics to it in terms of being able to power up certain skills of your I don't know what to call him, your protagonist, shall we say. And I think there is some elements of level choosing as well. So I'd love to go back to it. It will certainly get my nostalgia neurons firing, but also I think it will be a very interesting game to dive into for a game club. So, yeah, my first choice is WizKid.
Oh, classic sensible title there as well. It's the old team. It's done by a program by Chris Yates. Art is by John Hare, and the music is Richard Joseph. Couldn't be better than that.
I've never played it. I was not a fan of the original. It was one of those really frustrating gameplay mechanics. I could see how good it was, but if it's anything
you needed to stick with it to really get something out of it.
It's nothing like that, mate. It's nothing like that.
No, it's a completely different game.
It's not a brilliant game.
It's not a shooter. Mm. Have you played it much, Matt?
Yeah, I did back in the day, but I haven't played it in many, many years, actually. So I would really like to play this one as well.
If you look at the screenshots alone, it looks not great. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, if you were to see that for the first time, not knowing what it was, you would think public domain.
Maybe.
But I'm sure, I absolutely know, being sensible, it's going to be cracking. Mm.
Yeah.
It's very colourful. Maybe that's what you mean. It looks a bit garish, maybe. But I don't know. I think if you just read any kind of short description on it, and it does sound really interesting. I think there's loads of different mechanics going on here.
Yeah, it's a bit like a collection of games, really.
Yeah.
We have to get through. Yeah.
It's not the only one of my games that resembles a collection of games. I'll give you a little warning.
Okay. Ooh.
So you're trying to get more than one game in, basically.
I think if you counted up all the game types in my games, I think you'd end up with about 15.
Cheeky.
What's your first game, Matt?
So I'm going to go in backwards chronological order. I've just Googled what that is, and I can't work out the word, so I'm going to say backwards chronological order. So I'm going for Alan's Bread, or more known as Alien Breed Tower Assault. So this was released in 1994, obviously by Team 17. Now, if you want a more... try and find a more Amiga-y game than Alien Breed, although this was released on the PC, just to say that. This was... So I've never played this particular sequel, and it's apparently the third in the series of Alien Breed, so it come after Alien Breed 2. Yep. If you look at Wikipedia, they're wrong, because they say it's based on the game engine of Alien Breed, or the graphics and game engine of Alien Breed 2. It clearly isn't. It's Alien Breed 1. But what it did introduce was this kind of retreat gameplay mechanic where you can be firing and moving backwards at the same time.
Oh, cool.
I guess Doom style to some degree, but I think maybe prior to Doom. Shout out to my friend Kian, who I'm still friends with to this day. We went to an Amiga show and he bought it there. I never played it, though, so he kept that clearly to himself. I have his copy now, though, his actual original in storage. Oh, nice. It's a game I've always wanted to play because I do like the Alien Breed series. They're not the greatest games in the world. It's a bit like a lot of Team 17 games. They're good, rarely achieve great. They were great at the time. But I think this is the most sort of probably advanced Alien Breed there is. Apparently rock solid in one player, though. So I think it's going to be a tough game. But I think a good game for the game club. And like I say, it's a very Amiga-y game.
It's AGA only, is it?
No, this is ECS. So this is why for me, it's a weird sequel because it uses the graphics and most of the engine of the first one. So it's almost like a special edition because they had the special edition, which was easier.
Yeah.
Did they have Alien Breed special edition?
Yeah,
maybe
I'm
not.
Sure they did. I'm sure they did.
Project X and Assassin. Anyway, yeah, whatever they did to make it easier again. But this was ECS, this was non-AGA.
What year was it, Matt?
This was 94, so it's very late. Yeah, very late for an A500 game, more than anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward, if this gets picked, not sure it will, I'm looking forward to playing this, because I just think it's a good game club game. It's fun, it's progressive, it's rock solidly hard.
Yeah.
And we can see who's got the biggest cojones on the Discord group.
It was released on the CD32 as well.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, on the CD32, it has probably the worst FMV intro I have ever seen in any game.
Wow, that's, the acting and that's is saying something.
It's really, I mean, it's something special.
Wasn't it Marcus Dyson, the ex-Amiga format editor, who was the actor in air quotes in that FMV?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it was, because he moved to Team 17 to become a producer.
Okay.
And I'm sure it was him.
Yeah. Wow. That's one to look out for then, isn't
proper
it?
Proper cringe-worthy stuff.
Yes. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So there's my first game, folks. I shouldn't have done all the research before the show now, should I? I've written loads.
Nice. That's all you get. We're moving on.
Just to say, Amiga Power didn't like it, though. They hated it.
Okay.
So every other magazine rated it good, some very good. Amiga Power, in true Amiga Power style, 46%.
They obviously haven't been sent any review code for the previous Team 17 game, have they?
Righty, Mads, back to you.
Yes, and back to 1993, where DMA Design did Lemmings 2, The Tribes.
Oh, wow.
So I love my Lemmings. Everybody knows that. And I'm looking at Lemmings 2, The Tribes, big box version for the Amiga up here on my shelves.
I remember you buying that.
So, yeah, so I love Lemmings. And everybody always talks about Lemmings and, oh, no, more Lemmings. And then it kind of stops there. But I think Lemmings 2 was brilliant, as was All New World of Lemmings, for that matter. But I want more people to play all the way through Lemmings 2 with me. It could be great fun. And it's a huge game, really. How many tribes are there? 12 with each 10 levels you need to get through. So 120 levels, something along those lines, at least. Mm. It could be good fun to try to work through that. Here come Christmas. Be nice. So Lemmings 2 is my second choice. And of course, it's a game where you don't only have these 8 or 10 different skills. You have 50 different skills or 60 skills to choose from. Only 8 or 10 in each level, but there's a plethora of different things that these lemmings can do. And trying to figure out how to use those skills to get through the levels is just such good fun and a perfect Christmas game for me.
Is this the one where they increased the size of the lemmings? Sprites?
No, that would be the third one. That's All New World of Lemmings.
Okay. So I'm a love-hater with Lemmings. I know it's a wonderful game, right? But my brain doesn't compute that sort of puzzle game. I've tried it so many times, and I do like it when I play it, but it gets to the point where I can't nail a level, and I'm sort of toys out of the pram kind of person.
Yeah.
So it just goes. But I, you know what? If it's chosen, I'm absolutely going to play it, because I want to love it.
It's a great game.
Is there a Christmas level on this one?
I don't think there is, actually. Okay. I'm not sure. There's this one of the tribes who are living in a snowy country, so maybe there could be something there. I'm not sure.
So you're controlling the different tribes, or do you go and battle these tribes?
The Lemmings Medallion is a three disc game, and the first disc is the intro, which is a nice little animated intro. Yeah. The Lemmings Medallion is lost and split into 12 pieces, and all of the different tribes have one piece of the medallion. And now something is happening. I forget what, actually. So they need to get together once more. So every tribe has to go through 10 levels to move their part of the medallion to the center of the screen in this map screen. So yeah, you only control one tribe at a time. And then there's, I mean, beach lemmings and highland lemmings and ninja lemmings and space lemmings and so on and so forth.
It's very, very good.
Yeah. Was it critically as well acclaimed as the first?
Not as much as the first, but yeah, they still liked it.
Nice.
That's a big hit of that, Mads.
It is. Yeah. Go on then, Chris. What's your next 15 games?
So my next 15 games is a compendium mashed into one game. It's the game that really should not have been any good at all, but actually was very critically acclaimed when it was released in 1991. It's a film license. It was published on the Amiga a full 2 years before.
It's not Hudson Hawk, is it?
Well, it's not Hudson Hawk, nor is it Blues Brothers, nor is it Navy SEALs. It is a game published by Ocean, and it's RoboCop 3.
Ah, by Digital Image Designs.
Exactly. The game that I thought, if you'd said to me, play RoboCop 3, I'd be like, nah, that's rubbish. It's got to be rubbish. It's a film license. It's the third in a series of film licenses. That has to be terrible. The film was terrible. It's got to be terrible, right? Apparently, it's not terrible. In fact, apparently, it's very good. In fact, it got listed in various magazines running the end of Amiga top 100 games. It got named in a few of those as top 100 games of all time. So
I think Amiga Power loved that. I think that was one of the games they really, really liked.
Amiga Power actually was, I mean, looking at the Wikipedia page, of course, Amiga Power only 85 out of 100. Amiga Formats got 91%. CVG got 94%. That was the highest, which is high praise from a multi-format mag. It got a load of ports onto various platforms over the next few years. In fact, there was a completely different game published for the NES and some of the other consoles. But the digital image design game was published in Amiga in 1991, as I said, 2 years before the film was released. So in terms of the storyline of the film, I think they were given a very vague outline, but they were making some guesses as to some of the story beats of the film. It's a typical film license in that there are a load of different gameplay types, similar to Batman the movie. There's a hand-to-hand section. There's a bit where you got to shoot and rescue the hostages. You got to fly in a jetpack on one of them. There's a driving section. Very, very typical of the time for those movie licenses, in that you just got a load of various genres and packed them together. But the difference is with this one, it is actually meant to be very good. I've never played it, but I've always been quite intrigued.
I remember it well, to the point of knowing it was good. And digital image design, I mean, it's just a bizarre game for them, because they did F-29 Retaliator for Ocean, yeah, which is a flight sim. Yeah. They did Epic. And then they went on to do TFX and whatever they did after TFX. And, you know, as they moved on to do real-life flight simulators for the Air Forces. So it's just a weird game for them to do. But I remember, I'm sure it was around the time of Epic, which was very good as well. Again, quite divisive in its review scores. Some magazines liked it, some thought it was terrible. But they were using the same kind of game engine for this to make it 3D.
It's got that early 3D, which I know can look horrible, but actually there's a part of me that just finds it really interesting to go back and play one of these early 3D kind of polygonal efforts, just to see kind of how it shapes up. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much longevity we get out of it, but apparently graphics are great once you get used to them. The music's great. And the mashup of gameplay styles means it shouldn't get boring. I think it'd be an interesting one to dive into and pick the bones apart of.
Like it.
Yeah, there good go. Choice. So now you've had your 10 picks. Maybe we should do the rest then.
I should drop him off the show now, Mads. Let's get rid of it. Right. I'm coming in with a heavy hitter now, or what I think is a heavy hitter. So I'm going to do the little preamble like you did there, Chris, before that one. So this is a game that was devised by a bit of a luminary who kind of fell off his perch quite a lot in the later years, Peter Molyneux. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that he's a great, but I think he became a bit of a parody of himself as time went on. But this was a sequel to one of their first games. I believe their first game was Power Monger on the Amiga, but this is Populous 2. So again, one of the first games I had on my Amiga. It's released in 1992, obviously by Bullfrog. It wasn't by Peter Molyneux. He was obviously on the team and designed it, but it was written by a whole stack of other folk in there. And this is not my usual kind of game, as you all know. This is more, I guess you deem it a strategy game, but for me, it stacks up as a way more action-based than a strategy game, because it's quite full-on and it's quite quick-paced as well. You can dive in and do a level in sort of 5-10 minutes. Later level, as you progress on and get stronger opponents, it can take a bit longer. You pit it against a different deity or religion or whatever you want to put it. But what I liked about this was, one, the graphical style is beautiful. It was way more playable than Populous 1, which I only sort of touched upon a couple of times. It felt that was more of the power monger era. So you are a god, but in this one, you just feel more ingrained into your little culture and your little tribe. And the fact that you can set people on fire, you can drown people. You send your men out to go and fight people, or they just proactively fight each other. I love that, the fact they proactively fight each other. And in the earlier levels, it feels a bit strange, actually, because in the early levels, you can actually lower and raise the land of your opponent. Yeah. Later on, I believe that gets stopped, and you have to wipe them out by either battle or by a natural disaster like a tidal wave or set fire to everyone. But I think it's a fun game. you know, there's a bit of comedy in there as well as being serious. I think it would make another great GameCube game because it's got a lot of depth, but equally it's just a whole stack of fun at the same time. And I think this was Serial Link Up as well.
I think you may be right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've played it on Serial Link Up. Very loved by the magazines, as you'd expect.
Feels like a big hitter to me.
To give it its full name, Populous 2, Trials of the Olympian Gods.
Yeah.
They are.
Mads, we had a bullfrog theme earlier this year when we played the wonderful theme Hospital.
Yeah, so we had a bullfrog theme and we ended up playing theme Hospital.
That's the wonderful theme yes, Hospital.
Yes.
Did Populous make the shortlist? I can't remember.
Nah, I can't remember either.
I'm sure we had it on the long list, the original Populous at least.
Yeah, must have.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice, Matt. I think it's a game that I've always wanted to really dive into, the Populous series.
It's a lovely game.
It's a game I've fired up so many times, but it always ended up being just a sandbox, just trying to lower and raise the environment of the ground and see what happens. But I don't think I've ever played through a single mission, so I'd really love to dive into that.
Yeah, it's great for people with OCD as well, because of that raising and lowering of land. Because you end up tidying your land up, basically, to get rid of
nice
it. And then your enemy starts raising and lowering your land, and it, you know, that gets you really angry. Really angry. I love that game. I really like it.
Yeah.
Actually, it plays quite well on the SNES and Mega Drive, surprisingly.
Yeah.
For a controller, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's at home on the Amiga, though.
It is. It is. Crack in. Right, Mads, back to you for your final.
Yeah, back to me. I was actually just looking into maybe, do you think Amiga Live has Populous 2?
Exactly what I'd written down here, actually. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great fun.
It would, actually. Mm. But then again, Serial Link Up, so maybe not.
No, okay.
Because I've always wanted Stunt Car Racer on there for Serial Link Up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's hard to replicate that. Right, yes, what's next?
So my next choice is... back to Sensible Software, because I love Sensible Software. One of my favorite Sensible Software games, probably my favorite Sensible Software game, is Cannon Fodder. So I've played that to death so many times. Never actually finished it, because after you get like 20 missions in, it gets really, really hard. But I never played the second game, I think. And I'd really like to remedy that at some point. Apparently it's...
rubbish.
It becomes even more crazy. So, no, it was quite well received.
I thought it was quite badly received. That must be Chaos Engine 2, I'm thinking of.
No, so Amiga, let's see, Amiga Format gives it 90%, Power gives it 89%, so it's pretty well received, I guess. I'm sure Cannon Fodder 1 had even better scores, but still we are in the 80s or 90s here, so it must be okay. I like that it's even more wacky now, because now instead of... like just having traveling between different war scenarios, you're actually doing time travels this time, and traveling to like strange places like an alien planet and so on. So, I'd like to see what the wacky minds of Sensible did with this. Still same team as before. So Stu Cambridge on the graphics and I guess John Hare as well.
No, I don't think so. I think Stu took a much more proactive role in this.
It could be, yeah.
So I think they took the game engine from the first one and he was given the reins on like the level editor to just put it all together with the graphics, and there was some other guy on it. Yeah, I believe that was how it worked anyway.
Yeah, you're actually right. When I'm looking at it here, it's so it says original graphics designer Stu Cambridge, and then some John... Lily is helping with the graphics design as well, and we've got Jules on the code design now. So
that's right, Jules coming on the code, didn't he? Sensible, yeah.
1994, another late game.
Yeah,
isn't it? I've never.
That's probably why I haven't played it on the Amiga, because I moved on to the PC midway through the 94, I think, or maybe in the beginning of 94. Yeah.
I mean, that's when Sensible. I mean, they were still flogging the Amiga for all it was worth, and they were very, very loyal to the Amiga.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you read their history, they'd brought in a lot of people at that stage into the organization. It wasn't just John Hare and Chris Yates. It was a lot of people.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But you've gone for another masochistically hard game, though, Mads.
But if it's anything like Cannon Fodder 1, it's got a nice learning curve. And I think it is until, like Mads said, you get later on in the game and it gets a bit unenjoyably hard, I think.
Yeah.
There's some of the later ones when you're in the skidoo and you're trying to jump like different areas.
Yeah, and it gets even worse after that.
Does it? So. I've kind of given up there, and I've gone back. I keep going back on my save states and replaying the bits that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tough.
I usually pick this game up around Christmas every year, and I get to two or three levels after that jump within the Ski-Doo, and then I forget which level it is. I just die at the same place every time.
Yeah. Tough as old boots.
We like to complete our Game Club games, Mads. This is going to be a proper challenge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that true? I've got to complete a game.
I like to... I like to talk. I think, yeah, I like to try, but I mean, obviously, it's the art of the possible here, isn't it? With some of these games.
So, Chris, give us an easy one then.
So here's an easy one then. This is I've saved the biggest hitter of my three, I think, until last. It's a game with no real end state, as such, which is unusual for me because I like a story and I like a beginning and end, but. One of my favorite games of all time, one of my most played games of all time in terms of hours played, I have no doubt. I think one of the greatest games of all time and the greatest football game of all time. Sensible World Striker. Of Soccer. Sensible World of Soccer. We've had a few comments recently that there's not enough sports games featured in the Game Club. And I have to say, I do agree with that. I think we could get more sports games. It's finding one that's interesting enough to play for a month and then have a discussion. Sensible World of Soccer, I think, is definitely falls into that category. It's a game.
Not much to talk about, is there? It's just soccer, mate.
Mate, it is. The mechanics of the game, the teams, the modes. And it is on Amiga Live.
Yes.
And therefore, the plan will be, if this gets picked, it will be to have some kind of... similar to what we did on Supercars, some kind of tournament over the course of the month where we could play and we'd get people together on Discord, play a game on Amiga Live, and then we progress. Mm. So that would be epic fun, I think. I'd love to. And I was really good at Sensi back in the day, really good at it. And I've played it recently and I can barely score a goal. So I need to recover some of my skills, I feel.
Yeah. So I used to love Sensible Soccer back in the day as well, but yeah, I tried to pick it up again. I can't remember how to bend the ball at all or anything. So
it's amazing how it leaves you. But
I was pretty good at one point.
And Sociable Soccer is coming to consoles next year, isn't it? I think. So this is John Hare's revamp at that kind of style of football game, arcade style of football game.
Yeah.
So with SWAS, let's give it its trendy title, because it's a part management game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it has got a management mode. Yeah.
Do you know there are up to date? You know, there's up to date versions as well with the latest teams and what. So we could pick one of those if it wins.
And there's one on Amiga Live as well. I think 2020 to 2021 is on Amiga Live.
Some people in this world.
To play Excel as well? Can we play an Excel spreadsheet?
Oh, of course. You have this problem with management games, don't you, Mads?
Should we put Championship Manager 93-94 in
let's
there?
Let's do it. No, let's just do it. Let's just do it. I'm happy with that. but seriously, when it comes to the game club ethic here, how will it work as a football management and playing game? Because it's never-ending, right?
Yeah, we just play it. I mean, people just play it. And talk about it on Discord, tell us the stories, who you've signed, how you've got on, have you been sacked, have you been promoted, tell us what your biggest wins, what are your biggest losses, who got injured, who got sent off in the cup final.
When you present it like that, it's really easy which one of your games I'm going to pick up.
But if you're a football fan, that kind of stuff is manna from heaven. If you're not and you're into the arcade sensibilities of it, great. I love this game. It's the ultimate version for me of the ultimate football game.
I think I've maybe never played Sensible World of Soccer. I've played Sensible Soccer. I've never played anything that had a management part as well.
It does have a man. You don't have to play the management mode, of course. You can just play it as an arcade football game, but it does.
Yeah, that's
have
what I did depth. Back in the day.
Can I give you a tip on the Switch?
Yeah.
Super Arcade Football. Careful, because there's one called Super Arcade Soccer. Super Arcade Football. It is like Sensible, but for the modern day, it plays utterly brilliantly, but it's got a huge lap of humour. So one of the gameplay mechanics is hacking, and you can hack people, and the referee rarely blows a whistle, but it's got a comedy element. And me and my brother have been playing it online, and normally in a football game, when you get hacked down, you get a bit annoyed, pissed off, basically. Suddenly, this becomes part of the game, not brutally so, but you accept it because you know you can get them back on the next goal scoring opportunity. But get it, it's cheap and cheerful. You can play it online, so you know if anyone wants to game online, it is really, really good.
That's Super Arcade Football.
Super Arcade Football. It's that little icon. No, you can't really see it.
There anyway, we go.
It's on my Switch. It is a beautiful game, and it has become one of those games that me and my brother just play all the time.
Nice. Good.
Really cool. Quick and easy.
Good tip.
Okay, let's move
Finally,
on from that controversy.
Last but not least.
Well, I'm in a bit of a quandary, gents, because I've got two. And as we were talking through there, I suddenly flipped and went, I don't know whether I want that anymore. I can only have one. I'm going to go with this other one purely because I played a part in it in some small way. Okay. It's Putty Squad.
Okay.
The fabled game on the Amiga that never got released in 1994 and got lost, apparently. You know, it wasn't finished. The review copies were just one level of it, the level that got given away with Amiga format. I'll see you, Amiga. And I love Putty. I was a big, big Putty fan on the Amiga again. I think that's a very classical Amiga platform game. And Putty Squad was just going to be this revered thing that was going to do great things. It got released on the SNES. I think it was only the SNES it came out on, and then later come out on the PS3, 4, Vita, etc.
Okay.
But in 2013, on the day before Christmas Eve, it was released on the Amiga, finally, by System 3 on their website with help of the legendary hacker Galahad of Fairlight.
Yeah.
The cracker, not just hacker, the cracker, basically put it together. And I was reading an interview with him the other day, and he mentioned my name, and he said Sam and Matt. So Sam, Mr. Sid, Bitmap Books, put out the physical copy of Putty Squad, 100 copies of this, with the blessing of System 3, proper boxed, big box versions. And I played a part. I duplicated all the discs. Oh, and I'd forgotten about that. I'd genuinely forgotten all about that. I remember it coming out, but I'd forgotten that I'd done something as part of it. So anyway, that's my little story there. And this interview sort of reminded me of that. I'm like, God, yeah, I did do something on there, didn't I? So anyway, I'm going to put it in here because I've played a little part and I love it as a game. So Putty Squad finally released in 2013. Lovely little Christmas present that was. It's a bit of a common platform game, but I think it's a good high score challenge, if nothing else. And it's a very progressive game again. It's not too difficult. There's various ways to complete the level, and you've got to collect your little putty things that you then progress to the next level. There's loads of different mechanics in this of weaponry, and it's got beautiful charm again, like the original one. I think the original one is better still, frankly, but this is obviously the sequel, and it just got that lovely little backstory that it never came out, and then boom, it got dropped in 2013, and it's out there. So it's freely downloadable, so it's easy to get hold of.
It's AGA only, looking at Hall of Life.
It is AGA only. It's a nice looking game. Like I say, it's got loads of quirks and charm, like the original, samples thrown in everywhere, and
mad
stuff going on. But again, I think it's quite a progressive little platformer.
I'm sure we played this once for an episode. It's a great little game.
Okay. Yeah. My other game would have been Crazy Cars 3.
Yeah.
But we'll leave it at that.
I'm glad you chose Putty Squad.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start whittling down that list.
Whittle away. Who wants to go first at knocking one?
Let's have a quick rundown. So, Mads, your games were...
My games were Lemmings 2, The Tribes, and Cannonfather 2, and Rick Dangerous 2.
Ah, Chris. Should we knock one of Mads out first then?
So how do we normally do this? So if you, go on, you knock one of Mads out, and then I will.
you're gonna hate me, Mads.
So pick the right ones.
So I want to get rid of Lemmings. Sorry. for the benefit of the tape and the listeners, Mads did a rude sign on screen.
Okay, so I've only got Cannonfather 2 and...
Are you really getting rid of Lemmings, Matt? That's bad form, that. You won't be invited back.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yes. That's the rules of the game, though.
However, if you don't agree, though, Chris, then, which I'm sure you won't, then we can't get rid of one of Mads, can we?
No, we can't. That is the choice. If you lose Lemmings 2, we lose Lemmings 2. Yeah, that so is.
You got to pick one off. Now Chris gets to pick one off.
Oh, I see.
I need to put my glasses on for this, because you've left me with a real Hobson's choice now.
Cannonfather 2 or Rick Dangerous 2?
It's hard or harder, isn't it, really? Which one? So I think Cannonfather 2 will be more interesting. I've never played either of them. I've probably played Rick Dangerous 2 once upon a time and got very frustrated. I'm not a huge fan, although I love a lot about the game and its prequel. I'm not a huge fan of the gameplay mechanics of Trial and Error. Cannonfodder 2, I think, will be interesting because I think there's probably a lot of people like me who played the original a lot but haven't played the sequel.
Yep.
And I think there is something about Cannonfodder and Christmas which go together like
Stollen cake,
things that go together, like cheese and cake. So, Mads, I'm going to eliminate Rick Dangerous 2. So, I would have kept Lemmings 2 had Matthew played his part, but that's the rules of the game. So, I will eliminate Rick Dangerous 2, and we're left then with Cannonfodder 2 for you.
Fair enough. I'd love to play that.
Okay.
So, it worked out just fine, man, didn't it?
Yes. It would have worked fine. Either way, because I'd love to play all three games, so no worries.
So remind us of your three, Matt.
Okay, so we've got Alien Breed Tower Assault, Populous 2, Trial of the Olympian Gods, and Patty Squad.
Go on then, Matt.
Matt.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
I'll eliminate Alien Breed because I like the game, but it's not one I would spend an entire month with. I would love to learn how to play Populous 2, and I'm sure you could easily spend a month trying to learn that. But no Alien Breed for me, please.
I'm not too upset, to be honest. Christopher.
So this now gets interesting, doesn't it? Always gets interesting, but this is particularly interesting.
So he likes to put himself in that position, being the last one. Yes. See that?
So I was thinking Lemmings 2 was a shoe-in, and then we wouldn't really want Lemmings 2 and Populous 2 on the shortlist because they're not similar games by any stretch of the imagination, but they're similar in that you use mouse. Is that it?
It's where the similarities end.
Kind of.
It's like Flashback being a sequel to another world. That's where we are. Okay.
And that's it. We've gone 40 minutes without mentioning that. So there we go. We're doing well. They're both thinky games, I think, is where I'm coming from. And in the interest of keeping things varied, I really like that story about Putty Squad, Matt. I do. I love a game with a story because I think it helps us. When we'll be recorded, it'll be a nice thing to talk about. You know, we might be able to get a little soundbite from Sam on or something like that. Games with the stories are interesting game club games always. And actually, having played a little bit of the original Putty, I quite like it. And again, there's something about a cheerful platformer game and Christmas which chimes with me. I'm going to go with Putty Squad. So I'm going to eliminate Populous 2. Which is maybe an unpopular choice for some.
So I'm going to follow your reasoning here. So if Lemmings 2 was on the list, you didn't want Populous, but now that Lemmings 2 isn't on the list, you don't want Populous?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. So it was interesting in that I had pretty much discounted Populous 2 because I assumed Lemmings 2 would go onto the list.
Okay,
but now that Lemmings 2 was on the list, Populous 2 all of a sudden back in the frame. Notwithstanding, I've discounted it anyway.
Your Honor.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough.
Your Honor. I've been playing point-and-click games. I've got Moon Logic going on. So my three.
Yep.
WizKid by Sensible. Robocop 3 by Digital Image Design. And Sensible World of Soccer by Sensible.
You go first, Matt. Or do you want to be the last one to pick it up? That would be fine as well.
As head judge Shirley, you have to decide in vote.
Yes. I'll go first. I don't mind being controversial or hated or disliked. But this is a real tough one because I didn't like Whizball, so WizKid doesn't appeal. in any way, shape, or form. I have memories and good ones of Sensible World of Soccer. I just
goal-scoring superstar hero.
I was once. but I just don't know how much of a game club game it is, because it's just match after match after match.
Game.
But then you're left with RoboCop 3, which again, I remember it. And I remember it being good, but again, is
so what he's saying is you picked three bad games, Chris.
Because unlike what you're saying, Chris, unless the difficulty curve on RoboCop 3 is really, really hard and you can't really get that far, I think it's got a finite point quite soon.
So it can't be a short or soft porn adventure, Matt. Someone finished that in about 40 minutes.
So I've seen some of the scores people get, and they're ridiculous. You know, I don't quite know how these people play games.
That's Tapper. That's kept us going this month. Yeah.
There's clearly some foul play going on. That's all I'm going to say. Just saying, as the kids say. So I'm stuck between a game I don't really know and a game I kind of know. And strangely, I'm going to chop RoboCop 3 because I think WizKid is going to be the better of the two games. Better of the three games, sorry.
So you give a Mads a pretty difficult decision there, I think, hasn't he, Mads?
Sorry, no, I'm not chopping WizKid, I'm chopping RoboCop 3.
Yeah,
sorry.
So you've given Mads the two sensible games.
Yeah, I think it's going to be easy for Mads, isn't it?
It's going to be quite easy because the way Chris was talking about Sensible Soccer made it sound boring to me.
And
I love Sensible Soccer. I love it. It's my favorite football game, mate.
listen to the listeners. You can hear them crying. Just listen.
Okay.
They're wailing.
Yeah, so what have we got right now?
They're wailing in Wales. They're sobbing in Scotland. They're freaking out in France. They're going mad in Mexico. Matt, don't do this.
So what have we got left? I have Cannon Fodder 2, and Matt, you had?
Party Squad.
So, strategy game, a platformer.
Yes, and a sports game. It's natural.
Strategy game, platformer, sports game. It's a bit of a shame that we don't have WizKid Cannon Fodder and Sensible Soccer on the list, isn't it?
Well, then we could have gone with our original choice.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to go with Sensible Software. mate, it's actually tough because I love Sensible Soccer. I've played it a lot with my mates, but I agree with Matt that I don't really see it as being that good for the game club. But then again, I'm not into soccer. Is there any depth in the management part? Would you like to play with that?
They're howling in Holland.
Yeah, shut up. Is there any depth in the management part? Is that actually funny to play with?
They're raving in Russia.
Okay, there isn't. I'm going to eliminate Sensible Soccer because nobody wants to play
yourself out of that one, Chris.
Yeah, you did.
You were asking Matt about whether there's any depth.
No, I was asking you if there's any depth in that management part.
You've got to buy and trade players. You bring in the youngsters. You know, you
basically buy and sell players, Matt. That's it.
Yeah, that's
it. Get your spreadsheet out and start.
Do you get to play the games yourself then?
Yeah, of course you do.
If you do the management and then play the game. That actually does sound like fun. Okay, it's back in. I'm gonna eliminate WizKid.
Wow.
Against my better judgment, but because I can see how happy it makes Chris. So let's have Sensible
Soccer. You're pitying Chris.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I think you've made a great choice.
Yeah, we do have too few sports games, and just because I have no interest in sports at all doesn't mean that we should not play any sports games in the game club.
And if you get bored, you can play Lemmings instead.
I'd never get bored of the arcade part of Sensible Soccer. I love that. I love Striker as well on the arcade. Striker 3, I think, was the good one of those. And I love a good arcadey soccer.
Get the one I recommended because it's very, very arcadey. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Great.
You'll have a tournament. You'll love it. You'll have a great
month. I have a hard time seeing myself enjoying that for a month, but I would love to play it on Amiga Live.
Chris.
Yes.
Is there any more depth to the management game than buying and selling players? It's been since 1996 that I last played that game.
Well, it's not Championship Manager.
Is it Premier Manager, though?
It's good that it's not.
It's not even quite that deep from what I remember. But it did give a longevity to the game because you could all of a sudden go on over seasons where there was a sense of progression in your squad. I mean, the tactics is basic. It's within the Sensible engine. But I still remember the thrill of signing a top player for Liverpool and then taking control of him on his debut and scoring the winning goal. Oh, man, we need to get back into Sensible. We do. We do. It needs to be done. I can't wait.
So
it's only on the short list.
So on the final shortlist, then, we have, from Mads, we've got...
Oh, I have Cannon Fodder 2.
Of course, Cannon Fodder 2. Yep. Sensible World of Soccer. Sorry, Mads, I've completely forgotten. So Cannon Fodder 2, Sensible World of Soccer, and Putty Squad.
Putty Squad.
Mm. That's a good list. Strong list.
List.
Yeah.
So that's what we go for.
Mm. Should we add Lemmings 2 in there just to have 4? We normally have 4 to roll on.
Yes. <That's> just... Shall we?
Nah.
I would not Let's be opposed because I can tell there's disappointment on Mads' face. Nah, so nah, he's I'm pitied fine, you, man. I'll pity him.
Well, if there's an outrage, if there's an absolute outrage, we'll succumb to our listeners and add it in.
You know it's all going to be aimed at me, so use me as the scapegoat, no worries. Whatever it is.
Well, there we go. They're the three. They'll go
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a great December.
Great
vote. And then we'll be back late December, post-Christmas, our tummies full of merriment, turkey and whiskey.
Chocolate.
Yep.
Why not? Chocolate. Until then, gentlemen, Matthew, any shout-outs?
Again, shout out to my mate Kian for I told him I'd shout him on this particular podcast. It might make him start listening a little bit more. So, but thank you for having me on, by the way. This was,
you're welcome. Thank you for being on.
Very kind of you to ask me, although I would have been up in arms if I'd have known about an Amiga one, and you didn't.
Well, we did think that we couldn't have an Amiga theme without including you.
Yeah, on your little private chat between you. Oh, Matt will be annoyed.
Matt can't have that, can
he? Really, really annoyed.
We're always taking the piss out of Matt on the episode he doesn't listen to, so we don't bring him in. Matt, yeah. any shout-outs?
No. I'm fine. Just did an episode with you like 2 days ago. I'm totally shouted out.
And after this is my third episode in the last week, so yeah. I'm definitely shouted out.
Love it.
Gents, it's been a pleasure. It Thank has. You, Matt, for joining us. Matt, I'll see you soon. And for Soft Porn Adventure, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Enjoy your research.
So I'm done.
There's research into a game called Soft Porn Adventure.
You got to watch the movies it's based on, okay. I believe.
Mm, yeah. That's what I have to check that out. That's sounds messy. Interesting. Mm.
Enjoy your lobbying, guys. Remember, choose sensible soccer, sensible world of soccer, or SWAS. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.
Go Putty Squad.
From now on, unlike your parents were... You are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone.